R.C. Goodwin was at Saturday at Bookies at 103rd and Western in the fabulous Beverly neighborhood signing copies of his first novel, Model Child. He is now sitting here while our mutual pal Dennis Foley is listening to the show somehow at the Billy Goat. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Chicago. This is a very Chicago-centric book, and you were giving me a few details about how that came to be. How did that come to be?
Well, first, thank you for having me.
Oh, sure.
I grew up in Springfield, and Chicago was the alpha and the omega. I loved the city. Both my parents had family here.
Yeah.
So I came here frequently and got to know it a bit. And then between graduating from college and medical school, I lived here for a time. So between one thing and another, I think I got a kind of a feel for the place.
You'd written a short story. We'll get into your psychiatric career and the way you really make a living. But you had written some short stories previous to Model Child, short stories collected in the Stephen Hawking Death Row Fan Club, which is a great title. It's hard to write a novel, R.C. And you're hearing from one who is stopped and started a dozen times. It is very hard. When you decided to write this novel, and it's a kind of psychological thriller, it's about understanding and coming to grips with evil, I think. I have not finished it, but I am about a third of the way through. Why did Chicago seem like a good setting for you?
It relates to a book that I wrote before, a novel that was never published, in which the psychiatrist, Dr. Harold Gottlieb, came back to Chicago. He had trained there, and it was blind luck. I can't attribute it to anything else because I wrote the book quite a while ago and then rewrote it, re-edited it over time. But I certainly didn't write it for the purpose of getting it published by a Chicago-centric publisher.
Sure, which Side Street Press really is, and I admire them for that. You're a psychiatrist.
Correct.
You studied in Dublin. Did you get a degree in Dublin?
I got a medical degree in Dublin, yes.
So when one becomes a psychiatrist, one, I suppose, not having done that, decides what area of psychiatry to go into, whether you're going to sit there and talk to angst-filled writers all day or bored housewives all day or prisoners in lockup all day. Do you decide, does one decide to specialize in one area or not, or how does that work?
Actually, I think most of us are generalists. There are subspecialists, and I certainly did not set out to work in correctional settings. That was yet another of the several flukes in my life.
What did you set out to do?
In psychiatry?
Yeah.
General practice, to be a generalist.
What was it about psychiatry that appealed to you?
I thought that it would hold my interest over time more than any other specialty. I actually loved pathology and had a long flirtation with it, but I thought that psychiatry would be more interesting to me in the long run, and I confess that I was more drawn to the living than the dead, frankly.
Interesting. Interesting. How does your career begin, then, in psychiatry? You open an office, you go to a hospital. How does that
In my
start?
Case, yeah. I started a practice in the city, or near the city where I trained, Hartford.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew people, and I was not established there, but I thought that I could be. And then the correctional piece of my life came later.
How did that happen?
Well, one of my mentors, senior psychiatrist at the hospital where I trained, asked me if I had any free time, and I did. I had about three patients then, so
you got a lot of free time, yeah.
And he recruited me for a place called the Whiting Forensic Institute, which kind of straddled the line between mental health and corrections. Inmates who were violent, who the system could not handle, wound up there. People were there for psychiatric evaluations who were incompetent to stand trial, high-profile cases. And I should add that at this point in my life, I had never set foot in a correctional setting. My first month there, this is true, I couldn't make it up, but my first month there, we got a serial killer, and never in my life have I felt quite so in over my head.
When you were introduced to the serial killer and told to, like, see if this guy's okay?
Evaluate him.
Really?
Yes.
Really? When the first time, you know, we're talking off air about correctional institutions, and they come in all stripes and all styles, and have been written about a lot. One of my favorites was, what is it, Cheever book? Falconer,
yes.
Yeah. When you first walked in to this Whiting place, do you remember your initial reaction? Was it fear, anxiety, or otherworldliness?
I can't remember exactly, but I'm guessing that it was a pretty nervous-making place.
Yeah. We are going to talk to R.C. Goodman for the next half hour about his Model Child, much of which takes place in a correctional institution. It is about a seemingly very extraordinarily normal guy who commits a terrible crime and meets up with a psychiatrist who, I'm at the point where the guy won't say a word. He won't talk to the psychiatrist. So you know how far I am into the book,
yes.
But I am deeply grabbed by the story. So we'll take a little commercial break, during which I will tell you two things, and then Aubrey will play some commercials. I'll tell you that Inside Edition's Deborah Norville checks in with her old friend Steve Cochran on Monday at 9:10 a.m. to talk about whether your pet will protect you and a crazy new invention called Flex Glue. Then I will also tell you, fly to the front of the line at LitFest on June 9th and 10th with a Fest Pass. Get yours before they're gone at printersrowlitfest.org/FestPass. Now we'll be back in a couple minutes. Bonnie Kolak. I'm Rick Kogan. My guest is R.C. Goodman, a psychiatrist, novelist. What do you call do you now, having published this acclaimed? I mean, I can say there aren't a lot of book review sections, but there are book reviewers online, and so Model Child has been acclaimed so far. Do you think of yourself as a novelist yet?
I think of myself as a novelist, but psychiatry is still my day job.
Because you can't.
Will be for the duration.
Yeah, because no one can make money as a novelist unless your name is James Patterson or Stephen King. You talked about early in your career being drawn into the correctional system, coming in to either evaluate and or work with a serial killer and other people who have committed crimes. After the initial sort of shock to the system, you must have found it terribly, terribly intriguing.
It was.
Yeah.
It is still one of the most interesting places that I've worked. Actually, there were several places, because I worked in different places within corrections. It was certainly frustrating at times. The numbers were against you. There's a tiny handful of people in mental health and a huge number of inmates. The period when I was working for corrections included the great drug boom. So the arrests and the crowdedness just got totally out of hand. But it was not alone interesting. I felt useful. We were talking about this before, but often in a correctional setting, you meet people who have never seen a doctor,
or a regular doctor, or a dentist, much less
a psychiatrist.
In their entire lives, yeah.
And the notion that change is possible can be a radical notion to them.
Cook County Jail here, for one in particular, a house of incarceration is known with some justification as a kind of almost a mental hospital, where the percentage of people who need treatment for mental ills is so substantial that it is kind of warehousing these people in a jail where they there's an inability to get the kind of help, psychiatric help, that they might need. Do you think that's a kind of a rampant problem?
I think that's a national trend.
Yeah.
And I think that it relates to a number of things, including deinstitutionalization, which was a wonderful idea in theory. But what it meant, in fact, was that a number of highly impaired people were put in a position where they had to cope with the world or try to cope with the world and couldn't, and they wound up in the correctional system.
Yeah. Were you scared? There must have been moments where, you know, one of the things I think correctional officers are often kind of diminished as just, you know, guys who watch the gate, but they can be very, very helpful, and I'm sure they were to you too.
Absolutely. Your life depends on them, literally. If a correctional officer, if a CO says to you, look, Doc, I'd be careful of Jones today. He doesn't look right to me. You're a complete idiot if you ignore that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I was attacked once in the 20 years, give or take, that I worked there. It becomes, to a surprising degree, another workplace.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting. Did you start to think of this as someone who has been writing for some time? Did you think to yourself, well, hey, look, there might be some material here for writing I may want to do? I mean, when did that kind of start to filter into your mind?
Well, let me say that I've been interested in writing long before corrections, but once I got there, the material, as I'm sure you can imagine, is absolutely endless.
Yeah, yeah. And did you start to make notes then? I mean, you obviously make notes in your psychiatric practice, but then did you start to make notes, you know, in the kind of a fictionalization of what you were seeing and observing and hearing? Because you must have heard some just chilling stories.
I've heard
and
things.
Met some chilling people.
Yes, I've heard things both in corrections and in my regular work that I would never tell anyone else because no one else should have to hear it. It's the stuff of nightmares.
Yeah.
But I think that working in a correctional setting brings up other questions, the nature of evil.
Yeah.
And how people get there in these places. My closest friend in college became an attorney, and he was a federal public defender. And I'll never forget something he said. We were talking about my patients, his clients, and he said that the difference between the best of us and the worst of us is much smaller than generally imagined.
That seems to be, in Model Child, one of the things that's going on. And again, as you people who listen to me know, I pride myself on reading the books of the authors who were on. That was going to be my intention today, but I got waylaid by the obituaries of Art Shea and Art Paul. So I'm into Model Child, and there seem to be two people here. A man named Shannon, who has committed a terrible, if not unspeakable, it's a hardly, you know, uncommon kind of act. He has killed someone. I'm trying not to give too much away. And the psychiatrist named Gottlieb, who is brought in to try to figure out what's wrong. I'm at the stage where Shannon refuses to speak to Gottlieb or anybody else. Is there any more you can say without giving away too much, R.C. Goodwin?
Yes. James Shannon is an absolutely unlikely perpetrator of a violent crime. He is middle-aged, Irish-American, devout Catholic, no criminal or mental health history, and he is a widower. He is a solid citizen. He kills his 15-year-old daughter, his only child, as she is in her bed one night, and makes no attempt to hide this. In fact, he
confesses. Yeah.
He confesses, and when he does, he becomes electively mute. And because of this, he is transferred to a forensic facility, and the psychiatrist assigned to him is Dr. Gottlieb, and much of the book concerns their interaction.
I have to believe that Dr. Gottlieb has some baggage himself that he brings to this encounter.
That would be true.
Okay.
There are some subplots.
I am going to put the arm on my guest, R.C. Goodwin, who I like very much and whose book has intrigued me so much that I would have finished it today had I the chance. It's called Model Child. It comes from Side Street Press, which is a local outfit. It is very Chicago-centric, as they say. We're going to get some commercials in, then we're going to get some news, and I'm going to put the arm on him to read a portion of this, because I have found already him to be a very stylish, polished writer. So, please stay tuned. Welcome back. R.C. Goodwin is now going to read a selection from his first novel. He had a collection of short stories come out that did very well. It was a Kirkus Indie Best Book of 2015 titled The Stephen Hawking Death Row Fan Club, which is a great title. This one is Model Child. I dove into it today, got distracted, but we'll finish it tomorrow. I am eager to finish it. Here he is reading a section. You want to need to set this up? Or?
Sure. Very briefly, this part that I'm going to read concerns the meeting of James Shannon, the perpetrator,
the alleged perpetrator, right,
and the psychiatrist, Hal Gottlieb. Gottlieb knocked on the steel door to Shannon's cell before unlocking it with an oversized key. They'd put him in a camera cell, a routine precaution. His every movement, waking and sleeping, would remain under scrutiny. He lay on his bunk, on his back, staring at the ceiling, his arms crossed in front of his chest, as his visitor introduced himself. "Mr. Shannon, my name is Dr. Gottlieb." Shannon turned his head and glanced at him, but otherwise he gave no acknowledgement of Gottlieb's presence. The psychiatrist scrutinized his new patient. He had seen many pictures of him on TV and in the papers, but he was still ill-prepared for the stark normality of Shannon's appearance. A man of about 5'10 and 160 pounds, he had dark blue eyes and thinning black hair flecked with gray. Apart from a slightly weak chin, his features were blandly regular. "He had a face," observed Gottlieb to himself, "that was made to be lost in the crowd. If he'd committed a stick-up instead of a murder, and 10 people witnessed it, they would have described him in 10 different ways. The banality of evil. If James Shannon had committed the crime of which he stood accused," thought Gottlieb, the notable phrase caught him perfectly. "How are you feeling?" he began. No answer. "Do you know where you are?" Shannon kept silent, so Gottlieb answered his own question. "It's a place called the Greater Chicago Forensic Institute, a kind of hospital, a psychiatric facility for people in trouble with the law. They transferred you here from jail. Do you know why you were arrested?" Let me skim here a little.
Sure.
And Gottlieb tries to address him with pretty benign questions, and there's no response. He notices, Dr. Gottlieb, that there's a desk in the cell. It's a bare-bones cell. But Gottlieb takes a step towards it. He took a step towards the desk and picked up the Bible. It was open to the book of Job. Gottlieb raised his hand to reassure it.
No, it's okay.
"I see you've been reading the book of Job," he noted. "I'm no expert in the Bible, but that particular book has always fascinated me. It tackles the basic question, doesn't it? Why does a benign God allow evil? I think all of us can relate to Job at one point or another in our lives." He replaced the Bible on the desk. "I'm wondering if you feel like him right now, if you feel as though you're being tested." Still no answer, but Shannon had moved his head on the pillow, as if to cock an ear towards the visitor. Despite the silence, Gottlieb sensed that he paid close attention.
That's good writing. That's good writing. It gives me the creeps, frankly. I mean, the encounter makes me very, very uneasy.
As good.
I'm sure, yeah, well, good is right. Good is right. Is it difficult, R.C., for you to write? Are you a facile writer, or does it come easily to you, or how?
No, I tend to be a kind of a perfectionist. I fret the words and the sentences, and I will rewrite endlessly. I think the hardest, I do dialogue fairly easily because, given my work, I hear people talking from all walks of life. I think the actual hardest part of writing, for me anyway, is the plot and tying it together with the subplots. There are so few plots, really, and to try to have a new twist on them
is
taxing to me.
Is this, I mean, obviously, much of the book, or some of the book, is based on your own experiences in various places, and some of Chicago in the book too. What about the people? Is Gottlieb at all like Goodwin?
I've gone out of my way not to make him my alter ego, but he in creating him, I obviously made use of my experience in psychiatry. Actually, he is really not based on me or any other psychiatrist that I know of.
Yeah. How was it to, you said that you found Side Street Press is a Chicago firm, really run by a number of people, but including my great friend and a great writer, Dennis Foley. You found them by chance.
Through an ad. I subscribed to a magazine called Poets and Writers.
Which is a nice magazine.
Yes, it is. And I noticed in an issue, this was quite a while ago, an ad from the Side Street Press. They were looking for Chicago-centric novels. And nonfiction, both.
Yeah.
And it so happened that this book, which I wrote a while ago and then kind of rewrote and re-edited it over time, was set in Chicago. So I thought, why not? I'll send him a chapter.
Had you tried to sell the book before?
Yes.
As I've said, as I say every time an author is on the show, it is the wickedest era for the book publishing business that I have ever experienced in the 40-some years I've been aware of the book publishing business. It's a tough, unless your name is Stephen King or James Patterson.
Stephen King had some trouble at first.
I know.
And so did Gresham.
Yeah, I know. But now everybody's having trouble. Do you have another one? Are you working on anything else?
I'm working on a memoir, yes. And the working title is Making God Laugh, which comes from a Jewish proverb that I like very much. Do you know how to make God laugh? Tell him your plans.
Mm-hmm.
I also have in mind some short stories I'd like to write. I enjoy short stories. It's a challenge because there's really no margin for error.
Oh, yeah.
If you're writing another War and Peace and you have an awkward sentence or two on page 699, okay, no big deal. But a 5,000 or 10,000-word short story, you better get it right.
It's interesting. You're still practicing psychiatry, yes?
Yes.
You still in correctional institutions?
No. I'm very glad that I did it, and I'm very glad that I'm no longer doing it.
Well, R.C. Goodwin, I cannot wait to finish your book. The novel is titled Model Child. I am just at the point where R.C. was just reading about, where these two characters begin what is likely to be a very interesting relationship, Gottlieb and Shannon. Gottlieb, the psychiatrist, and Shannon, the alleged killer, confessed killer. He's not so much alleged anymore. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And come back to Chicago.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Give Dennis Foley my best.